So I am Kathy Binner. This is the Happy House Hunters. We've got David and Tammy with us. They are part of our Happy House Hunters group. And Kyle is my co-mod on the Happy House Hunters, along with Christy Hawkins. I don't see Christy in the audience yet, so I'll keep an eye out for that, for her. And tonight we're talking about filling. Now, we start every year and in January, and we go through the six F's of real estate. And then in July, we start over. So we're coming to a close, getting ready to start over again in January. And the topic is the same, but the conversation always varies because we bring different experiences into the conversation. We bring different speakers into the conversation. And so the conversation does vary. But we start with finding how to find those deals, how to find the real estate deals that you're looking for. And Kyle helps us with that. He's a licensed realtor and he gets us into all of these great properties and he helps us find those deals. Then we talk about how to fund. That's the second F of the six Fs, how to fund the deal. Then, of course, we have to fix it. Once we find it and fund it, then we have to fix it, whatever's wrong with it. And that's kind of where we're going to start tonight with, right after we get the fixing part done. And then we can either flip it or we can fill it. And if you flip it, you're going to, of course, flip it for more money than you have invested in the purchase of the property and, of course, the rehab cost and put some money in your pocket. Or you're going to fill it and you're going to keep it. And that's called a buy and hold investor, where you fill it with a renter and that becomes more passive income. And I'm going to show you kind of how that works. And then after that is your freedom. How many of those that you fill do you have to have? How many do you have to put in your back pocket before you can make that daytime job optional? So anyway, it's optional for me. I no longer have to punch a time clock. David and Tammy are not punching the time clock these days. We make Brandon punch a time clock, or Kyle punch a time clock, because we always ask him to get us into all these properties. So, so anyway, he probably still feels like he's punching a time clock, even though he's self-employed. So I get it. So anyway, tonight we're going to talk about filling. And I'm going to start with my checklist, and then I'm going to show you where to find all this information. And Kyle, if you could kind of keep an eye on attendees coming in, they automatically can just join. And if you have any questions, please feel free to just put those over in the chat and we'll keep an eye on questions as they come in as well. So the first thing that I'm going to do, whoops, let me cancel that. Let me get out of there. Well, it's not going to let me out of there. Let me move that out of the way. I don't know why it's there. All right, here we go. Now, can everybody see my screen? Yes. Okay. So the first thing, and this is just on a Google Doc. I just made this checklist and I'm going to go through the checklist. And then if anyone has any questions, and I no longer can see the chat, Kyle, can you see the chat?
I pulled the chat up also, Kathy. So I'll try
Yeah, because once I share my screen, the chat goes away for me. So folks can still come in. I'm just looking for Christy. If she comes in, I can jump over and let her come up with the rest of us. Anyone else that comes in, please just put your questions in the chat. So we're going to start with rehab. So either you've purchased a property, you went through the finding and the funding, and now you're in the process of fixing, and you've decided that you want to keep it as a buy and hold. Or it's a property that you've had rented for some time and maybe your tenant has been there for, you know, a couple of years or whatever. And now they've decided to move on to buy a house. They've relocated for whatever reason. And now you have to kind of go back in and freshen up that unit or rehab it again. Usually it's a much lighter rehab at that point because you're just freshening up what you've already done in there previously. But you have to start with the rehab. You have to make sure that you have that rehab behind you. And so now you're ready to fill it. Well, the first thing that I like to do is I like to set a date for an open house. And that's the second thing here on my list is this date for an open house. Because if I just run an ad out there that I've got this unit available, all of a sudden I'm running every time somebody wants to see it. And sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't, you know, sometimes they're late and it's just a lot of time. And I want to make my rentals, the ones that I'm buying and holding, that I'm, you know, going to Phil, I want to make those as passive as possible. So the first thing that I do is I set a date for an open house. Now, the way I like to do an open house is I like to choose a Saturday, and I like to choose something around 3 o'clock, because if I am in a neighborhood that is a rental type neighborhood, which is where you have great success with buy and hold, you always have a line of people that want to rent because it's a neighborhood where there's a lot of blue collar workers and everybody needs a place to rent. They're not interested in buying a house. They just want to rent something that's nice in a nice neighborhood that's safe and has a yard for the kids, whatever. And so at that point, some of those workers work either 7 to 3 or 3 to 11. Some of my best tenants right now are coming from Amazon. They work at the Amazon warehouse. And so they work those kind of shifts. So it's hard to do an open house, say, for example, at 10 o'clock in the morning, because a lot of folks would be working. And so then you're thinking, well, I'll do it at 5 o'clock in the evening. Well, now you've got all those evening workers, the restaurant workers, the warehouse workers, all of those that are working a second shift, they can't come to your open house. And so I like to pick 3 o'clock on a Saturday and then go an hour on each side of that. So I start my open house at 2 and I'll keep it open until 4. So that way, somebody that's going to work at 3 can swing by on their way to work, and someone getting off at 3 can swing by on their way going home from work. And so that works for me, is to pick that date and time for the open house. But you're going to advertise that to get people to show up for the open house. So once you decide that you have your date and your time in mind, now make sure that you have a second phone number. And again, I want to make this as passive as possible. So if I use my regular cell phone number or my regular office number, I'm going to be inundated with all of these phone calls. And oftentimes, and I don't know about you, if anybody's ever advertised anything online, doesn't have to be an apartment. I don't care what you advertise online. Everybody wants to know, is this still available? Is this still available? Is this still available? Or you could put everything in your ad. It's 3 bedroom, it's 2 bathroom. And they go, and how many bedrooms? How many bathrooms? And you're answering the same questions over and over and over. So to make it more passive, I like to have a second phone number. And I, now bear with me here for those of you that either may or may not know this, on a cell phone, first of all, you can do Google phone, you can do a second cell phone line. I like to do a second cell phone line on my cell phone. It costs me $10 a month to add a second number, and it's all on my same phone. I don't have to carry 2 phones. And they have what's called on your cell phone a vacation greeting. And if you go into your greeting settings, your normal greeting setting might say something like, oh, you've reached Kathy Benner, please leave your name and phone number. But if you put a vacation greeting, it allows you to record a greeting that folks cannot leave you a message. It's just an information greeting. And so I like to take that second number on my cell phone and record a vacation greeting. And what I do is I simply read my ad right into the greeting. I say, you're calling about, you know, ABC Main Street, and it's 3 bedroom, 2 bathroom. It has off-street parking. And I just read that ad that I'm going to advertise anyway, right into that second number. And then I also put in there, and our open house is such and such a date and time. So what it does is it just reaffirms everything. And here's why I do that, is because, and we're going to talk our very next point is advertising. When somebody sees your ad on a Facebook group, in a Facebook group, on Facebook, or when they see it even on a sign, or if they see it on Craigslist or on Marketplace, wherever they happen to find your ad, they're seeing a bunch of ads and they don't remember. They're like, now, which one was this? Was this the 3 bedroom or the 2 bed? And that's why they have questions again. And that's why, like, now, was this the one that had the open house? And so, even though it can be frustrating for you to say, I've got to answer all these questions again, it's frustrating for those that are looking, because after a while, it's hard for them to remember which one they actually saw, which ad for, and where they saw it. So on that second phone number, I simply repeat everything that was in the ad. And then they go, oh yeah, that's that one. It's got the open house on Saturday. It's got 3 bedrooms, you know, and it gives them all of the same exact information. And so again, The first thing you're going to do is get your rehab done. Then you're going to come up with what date and time you want to do the open house. You're going to have your second phone number all set up, ready to go. Now you're ready to advertise. And so at that point, I personally like to use Craigslist. And the reason that I like Craigslist is I like the template on Craigslist. For those of you that have used Craigslist, it's a great template for a rental property. You can put your pictures there. You can put your description there. It's got a map. You can put when your open house is. You can put all that information. And then all you need to do is keep that link, that URL. And I'm sharing my screen right now. So this, for those of you that either do or don't know, this is your URL right up here. And so once I have that Craigslist ad all done, I simply go up there and copy my URL directly to the Craigslist. They'll give you a link right on Craigslist of a link that you can advertise, that URL. Take that URL, and then that's the URL that you want to take over to Facebook or over to Instagram. That's the URL that you want to advertise, is the one directly back to your Craigslist ad. And what it does is it keeps folks then even from scamming your ad. Now, again, we're going to talk about advertising for just a little bit, because in the whole advertising space, there is the marketplace. A lot of folks have great luck with marketplace. I prefer to kind of stay away from marketplace. It's great for used furniture. It's great for maybe a car that you're looking for, but I'm telling you what, there are so many scammers out there that as soon as I put my link and filled out a marketplace that I had a rental, the first thing that happened is I got 500, is this still available? And I was like, yes. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be time consuming, just letting everybody know it's still available. And the second thing that I got is scammers immediately came in and tried to direct folks away from me over to them. They said, we're the real owner, contact us to see this property. And what they did is they made it look like I was the scammer and they were the real owner. And so when you've got folks out there that maybe haven't even shopped for an apartment for a while, and they don't know that, they don't know who they're talking to. And what the scammers are doing is they're saying, they're painting this poor luck story, saying, I'm out of town, you know, my wife passed away and I'm out of town and I can't be there and I need to get this house rented. So if you'll send me a deposit and the first month's rent, you know, I'll make arrangements for you to get the key. And people are falling for that. And it's not even that person's property. So just be careful when you advertise. Wherever you decide to advertise, you have to monitor that and make sure that scammers have not taken over your ad in your comment section and getting people to send money to them instead of to you. So again, that's why I like Craigslist, because people can't really they can't hack your ad. They can make comments, but they can't hack your ad. They can make comments all over Facebook though. So just make sure you monitor wherever you advertise. Just make sure you monitor that. Now, at the end of the day, I find that I get just as much luck on putting a sign out front. And I don't know about you, but whenever I'm looking for a place, back in the day when I was renting and I would think, okay, I need to find a place to rent, I oftentimes would drive around the neighborhood that I wanted to kind of live in and see if there were anything available. And don't underestimate that. I still have gotten some really great renters just from having a sign in the yard. So don't underestimate, you know, just putting out a sign. So now once you advertise, now folks are coming to your open house. And so now the next question here on an application is, what are you going to do with your application? Are you going to charge an application fee? Now, if you're paying to have a background check done, you know, if you're paying a service to do that, and there's hundreds of them out there that you can use, then yes, you're probably going to have an application fee, because either you're going to have this prospective tenant give you the fee so that you can, you know, hook them up with this background check, or you're going to have them go directly to the background check application or folks and pay there. But there is going to be some sort of a fee, and you need to disclose that. because not everybody is going to want to pay a fee, you know, because you get the look, you get the lookers, you know, and I get that. If I'm out looking at five different units on a Saturday afternoon, I probably am not going to want to pay five application fees. So I personally don't charge an application fee. I want as many applications as I can get during the open house. And I have them complete the application right at the open house. I have a hard copy they can complete. I have a link where they can go and do it online. So anyway, I try to get as many applications as I can. And then once I get the applications, I can kind of go through just what they've said on the application and kind of, you know, determine. Now, what I do also is I keep track, and here's the big debate in Ohio, is do you have to take your applicants in the order that they apply, or can you put them all in a pile and pick the best one out of the pile? And to be safe, the attorneys that I talk to all say you should take them in the order that they come in, and the first one that actually qualifies, that's the order that you should number your first, second, and third choice as soon as they qualify. Not because your 10th applicant makes twice the income. If the first nine qualify, that you should then give it to the person that qualifies first that passes then whatever your background check is. So my only comment to that is just make sure that you do, that you treat everybody exactly the same. And so I recommend that you put down your qualifications, list out your qualifications ahead of time. Now, you certainly can even put those on, you know, on your website. I've seen folks put those, some of those right into the ad saying, you know, income has to be this and no evictions and, you know, whatever the qualifications are. I've seen them put it right in the ad so that there's no question. So, but just make sure that you treat everybody the same. And so as my applications come in, I number them. I just start numbering them 1, 2, 3, 4, just number them down the list as they come in. And then when I sit down, and again, I sit down with my daughter, she's my admin assistant. And sometimes I prefer to not even sit down and do that with her. I prefer to just hand them off to her because I get kind of sucked in. I don't know about you, but, you know, and I've told the story before and some of you on the call have heard it. You know, the girl in the red dress was my favorite girl at the open house. And I just know that's who I want to give the unit to and find out she's got the worst background check. And so you have to keep your emotion out of it and just go by the numbers. And I know that's hard, but that's where most landlords get into problems, is because they are too emotionally connected to their unit and they get too emotionally connected to their tenants. Let me say that again. Landlords that have problems get too emotionally connected to their units and they get too emotionally connected to their tenants. And that's when they start to have problems being the landlord. And so it's kind of nice if I, you know, if you do have someone else that can do those background checks. And for me, it's my daughter, Jen, who is my admin assistant. And I pay for one service called Been Verified, and that just verifies phone numbers and addresses and that sort of thing. And it does give you you know, any public record, but you can find the public record on your own. If you don't want to pay for a service like that, you can look up public record. And so on my application, I do ask for three addresses back, you know, like where did you live the last three places, because they may have moved in from another city or even from another state. You know, maybe last year they lived in Kentucky or West Virginia or Pennsylvania. And so what happens is then you can actually check that public record if you're not paying for a service and you're just going on, you know, court records, you can pull up the court records in the municipality where they lived and you can double check any evictions, criminal records, all of that is public record. And you can check that out on your own. You can sleuth that out. And my daughter has gotten very good at that. And so she then, if she sees that somebody has been divorced, she'll even circle back around and she'll ask, you know, because especially if there's minor children involved, she'll ask the dad's name and she'll even sleuth him out because we know that he's going to be there picking up the kids, dropping off the kids. And so sometimes it's nice to know, you know, a little bit about the father or the mother, vice versa, depending on who's renting the unit. So anyway, so on your applications, I get as many as I can. I number them as they come in. I then, once they qualify on paper, then I start doing the, and of course, once you start doing that research, you might go, oh, well, they didn't tell me about this eviction that they had 3 months ago. So all of a sudden they go in the not accepted pile. So then you just keep going. So once I narrow it down to the three that I am going to offer the unit to, those my first, second, and third tenant option. And again, mine are in order as they come in when they qualify. And I actually put mine when I start, and I want to go back and talk about applications and background checks again with this. Once I get all my applications in, I go through the whole stack. I put them all, you know, in order. So as this one, say number one doesn't qualify, it goes in the not qualified stack. Say number two does qualify, it goes over here. Let's do the background check and dig a little deeper. Number three, maybe yes. Let's make sure that they qualify. I have then everybody separated into those two stacks, totally not qualified and the ones that I want to dig a little deeper. Now, once I dig a little deeper, some of those end up going over to the not qualified stack, to where now everybody in this other stack qualifies and they're in the order that the applications came in. And I might have eight out of everyone that applied during that open house that are qualified. So now I start again in the order they come in with my first, second, third. I've never had to go past three for somebody to take the offer, because at that point now I'm ready to offer the unit. And so I might offer it to number one and they go, oh, you know, we just signed a lease just this morning. We didn't think you were going to call. Sorry about that. All right. So then I go to number two and they might go, oh, you know, we were ready, but now we just found out that, you know, my husband's parents are going to let us have their house. And we didn't know that that was even a possibility. So now I go on to number three. I've never had to go past three, but in my example, I have eight that qualify. I can just keep going. And at some point, one of those is going to say yes, because those folks all came to that open house. They were all looking for a place to move to. And so at some point, I seriously doubt I would go through all eight and not have a yes. But oftentimes, and in my situation, I've always had a yes within the first three. So then at that point, you're going to offer the unit, you're going to get your yes, and then you have to decide your move-in date. Okay, when do they need the unit? How soon do they need the unit? And if you've got any last minute things you need to tidy up, now's the time to do that. But even if they're not going to move in, say for 4 or 5 days, maybe a week or two, depending on what the conversation has been, I'm still going to get together and sign a lease with them. I'm going to sign that lease and get the unit kind of tied up, if you will. That way I can take it off the market and I can get rid of all of those. Is it still available? Is it still available? Get rid of all of that craziness. And so I'm going to get the lease signed and I'm going to collect the first month and the deposit when I get the lease signed. And I always ask them, believe it or not, right up front, I ask them to bring cash. You know, nothing like good old hard cash. Because oftentimes I don't have a lot of time in between the fact that I have the open house, I've done the background check, you know, I've done the applications, the background check, I'm now getting ready to sign the lease. Sometimes that all happens within the same weekend. You know, if I do an open house on Saturday and then, you know, I get together with Jennifer Saturday evening and we run the background checks, by Sunday, I might be ready to offer the unit. And by Sunday night, I might be ready, you know, to sign the lease. And they say, well, I need, you know, can we move in this week? And if I've got the unit rehabbed and ready to go, I'm going to say, sure, because the sooner they're in there, the sooner I'm making cash flow on that unit. And so oftentimes I will collect the first month and deposit in cash because I haven't had time to even get into the office and set them up for the payment process. Now, again, for those of you that know me, know that I like to use an online software program, and the one I've chosen is Inago, but there are several out there that you can choose where you can actually set up to even do the lease signing right through the program. You can do the collecting of the rent, the deposit, and everything right through the program. And if you've got that set up where you can make that happen in the time frame, then by all means do that. Now for me, I get the tenant nailed down, so to speak, get the lease signed, get the first month's rent and deposit, and then I circle back into the office and I set up the future payment process in the Inago. And I then at that point, I can upload the lease in there that they've signed, you know, because I still do a paper copy. I can do all of that and get everything into Inago. And then I've already explained to them that when their rent is due 30 days from when we've signed the lease, that they'll get it through Inago. And that gives them time to click in, because they have to accept the Inago on their end, same as I have to send it out on my end. So that just gives us all a little time to do that. And I get that all set up. So now it's time to do the walkthrough and to hand over the key. Now I present my walkthrough as an advantage to them, but secretly, internally, it's an advantage to me, but I present it as an advantage to them. And this is how I present that. I say, I want to do a walkthrough. I want you to point out everything that you see wrong with the unit. I said, because that way when you move out, we'll know it was already there and we'll know you didn't do it. Oh, well, because they don't want to be charged for something they didn't do. And so at that point, we go through the walkthrough and they point out if there's a scratch on the countertop or if there's a flaw in the tub or if, you know, whatever we find wrong. Now, if it's some things that maybe got missed in our punch list when we were rehabbing, I might even send my maintenance person around, you know, to tidy up some of those things. But if it's just, you know, superficial type things, you know, because every unit will have it. I mean, if you look deep enough, you'll find a little dent in drywall somewhere. You know, there's always something that somebody can find. And so I mark those on the walkthrough and then we both sign this walkthrough checklist. And we're looking at windows and blinds and baseboards and doors and cabinets and countertops and carpet and flooring and tubs. And we're just looking at everything to see where there might be any damage or anything that needs repaired that maybe we've missed, but also any damage that's already there. And so that lets us kind of know what the unit looks like. So then it's the same exact walkthrough sheet that I use at the other end when they move out. So I use the same sheet. There's two columns, one when they move in, a move-in column and a move-out column. And we check mark that it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then we both sign that. At that point, then I'm ready to hand over the key. Now, another thing I like to do when it comes to keys is I like to have at least one door on every unit with a keyless entry. And I like that because sooner or later, you're going to have a furnace go out, or you're going to have an air unit go out, or you're going to have a leaky faucet, or there's going to be some reason that you have to run down there or run over there and let a maintenance person into that unit because your tenant is at work, or for whatever reason, you have to go let the maintenance person in. With a keyless entry, I do three codes in every keyless entry. I do my owner's code, which is the same in every single keyless entry that I have. That way I only have to remember one set of numbers for everything. And then I have a maintenance code, and then I have the tenant code. And that way, if I choose to change that maintenance code, I can do that. That way, if I have a maintenance person that I go, I don't think I want him to have access to my unit in the future, I can always just go change that one code if I want to. But that way the tenant has their own code, I have my own owner's code, and then I have a maintenance code. And that has come in handy more than once when I've had a situation of a leaky faucet or a furnace that needed to be looked at. And the person is like, I'm at work, but tell them to go on in. Okay, well, the only way to tell the maintenance person to go on in is if I drive to wherever this unit is and let them in. So I really like the fact that I do at least one door on a keyless entry. So at that point, once we set what the code is going to be for the tenant, and I let them know we won't enter their unit without a 24-hour notice unless it's an emergency, or unless they call us and tell us that there's a maintenance issue and they give us permission. So they know that there is a keyless entry on there and they get to tell me what four-digit code they want so that they can remember their code as well. Now, I will say before I leave the conversation about the keyless entry, I go twice a year to every single unit and change furnace filters, change batteries in smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors, and change batteries in those keyless entries. And so that is on our schedule. And so to keep it easy, we do it the week that the time changes. That way we kind of just remember that that's the week we do that. So we do it every spring and every fall. So guess what's coming up here in the next couple of weeks is that we're going through all of our units. We're going to get some eyes in there. We're going to actually change out furnace filters, change out batteries and smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, and keyless entry doors. And so everything's going to be nice and fresh and ready to go for another 6 months. Now, we recommend that the tenant change the filters as well, but oftentimes they don't. So we're at least getting to see it right at the beginning of heating season and at the beginning of air conditioning season. We're getting to see those furnace filters, which keeps our furnaces and our air units running a lot better as well. So with that said, I want to move on now to welcome gift. So I always leave my new tenant a little welcome gift. And it's been different things over the years, but if they're coffee drinkers, one of my favorite is to just bring them just a standard kind of, not a Keurig or anything real expensive, but just a standard coffee pot with some, you know, a $10 coffee pot, a full 12 cup coffee pot with some coffees and creamers and just a little gift basket as a welcome gift. But I've had folks that have moved in around Christmas time. And you know, and I kind of in conversation, I go, oh, are you guys coffee drinkers? And they're like, no, not so much, not so much. So 1 year I had two move-ins in December and I actually just gave them poinsettias as their welcome gift on the counter and the, you know, on the breakfast bar with a nice welcome card. And they were really appreciative of that. So, but it doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be big. It just lets them know that you're thinking about them and that you appreciate them. And they're moving in and it goes, you can't believe how far something that small really goes with a brand new tenant. And so once they're in, now you want to review the whole maintenance request process. And so now the only time that they need to contact you and the only connection that you really need to have to that unit and to that tenant is to collect the rent and to maintain your end of the contract, what it is that you're providing for them. You want to make sure that it always has hot water and heat and air if you have air conditioning. Not every unit has central air, but whatever it is you're providing, you now want to make sure that that's in good working order and that the roof's not leaking and the faucet's not dripping and that everything is continuing to work the way it was the day that they moved in. And so now you should have a process on how they contact you with those maintenance orders. And again, I love to use an online software program because the order comes to me through Inago, which Inago drops right into my inbox of my email. And the reason I like that is because I can then forward that request right onto my maintenance person. And oftentimes I don't even have to make a phone call and I don't talk to the tenant and I don't even have to talk to the maintenance person. I had one just this week. They said the chain came off in the tank of the toilet and it wouldn't flush. And I sent them back an email and said, I'm going to submit this over to maintenance. In the meantime, because this was a younger couple, I said, in the meantime, I said, did you know that if you dump a pan of water rather quickly into the bowl and bypass the tank, that will make it flush until our guy gets out there? And they were like, no, we didn't know that, but thanks. And we'll try that. And they said, so it's not urgent. And I just forwarded that on to my plumber and he went out the next day and took care of it. And everything was done like within a 24-hour period. And so set up how you're going to do your maintenance request process, review that with them. And the reason again that I like Inago is because Inago has an actual app on their phone. They don't even have to sit in front of their computer. They can go right to their phone and take care of, you know, maintenance right on their cell phone. So anyway, any questions? I'm going to stop sharing so that I can see the chat. Yep, I see you guys typed Inago in there. And any questions? Oh, hi, Elise. I see we have Elise in the audience and we still have the two Toms. Any questions from anyone on what I've talked about? Comments? How about you, David and Tammy? Any comments about the checklist or the process and anything that you guys are doing different that works for you?
Well, why don't we hold off and see if any of our our attendees have some specific questions, and then I can kind of go into where we do the same and where we've had to diverge a little.
Okay. Any questions from anyone? Just put that in the chat. I don't know, David. Looks like you might be up.
I'm going to say, give him just a second. All right. So, you know, going through your work list, interesting, or your checklist there. At the very beginning, we actually, because we attended one of these filling meetings, went straight to Craigslist, and it immediately failed for us. Like within 24 hours, our ad got banned, and no one was able to figure out why. And it was just, we haven't been back to Craigslist. We actually went to Marketplace, and the two units that we've had to fill filled from Marketplace.
We shared that Marketplace link on local
groups.
So I shared it. This one was in Lancaster, Ohio. So we did share it on the local Lancaster group.
Well, interesting. I have never had a Craigslist ad fail. And I remember when that happened to you guys. And I remember Tammy and I talked about it. And I even looked at your ad and I could not see what it was that would have caused it to fail. I never did figure that out either.
Yeah, so me either.
We did a little research, and apparently, you know, it's kind of a hack out there. Is you can, if you want to, you know, knock somebody else's ad off so that yours is, you know, more visible, you just complain about it, and it's really easy to get them knocked off and really hard to get them back on.
Interesting. Elise just made a comment. She says, I'm awful at welcome gifts. She said, but my tenants loved my Dollar Tree basket. Oh, I love that. I love that. And again, you could do a Dollar Tree basket. You know, my daughter, Jennifer, again, my admin, she'll oftentimes go to Dollar Tree to get the actual basket and the shrink wrap to, you know, for me to make my gift basket. We don't always buy the gift there, but she does buy the basket and the shrink wrap for the basket at Dollar Tree. So I get that. Yeah. Other comments from Tammy?
Go ahead. We also differ from you in that we accept electronic applications. Mm-hmm. So our application is in Inago. And after we've shown a unit, we ask people to submit an application. We don't charge an application fee. And then I do my own initial background check. And if they qualify, then I go back into Inago. And there's a way to market telling them that you want them to do the official background check that they get charged for. So then Inago will run a background check on them for whatever the fee is that Inago charges.
Now, and now you guys put that in your ad that there is that fee.
Yes.
If they are accepted.
Right.
Okay.
It says no application fee, but a background check will be charged if we need a background check from you.
Okay.
And then also our leases are electronic. So then we send them via email a link to the lease to have it signed electronically.
Okay.
And then we just meet them to do the walkthrough and to hand over the keys.
Very good.
And another benefit that we found with having the application actually in Inago is that mean that you talked about, you know, accepting the cash
right.
for that first month and security deposit to speed things up. Well, since they have submitted their application in Inago, they've already created that account. So at that point,
I see.
They can still pay that first month and security deposit through Inago without slowing down the process.
Okay. Elise says again, she said, saw that Tammy, that she could do that. She said, I've been thinking about starting without the application fee until the app looks good and then go ahead and do that. But the application fee for you is actually for the background check.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I don't charge an application fee. I get their applications and I review them. And if it's somebody that looks promising, then I click a couple buttons and it sends them an email that says, go to this link and fill out the background check information, and Inago will charge you $40, I think it is.
Okay, so they just go direct. They're not even going through you.
They don't go through me.
Yes, yes. And Elise said she also saw that Inago said that you can now do security deposit and the first month through them, which is, which I knew all along you could. And again, I'll be honest, I've just been busy and haven't gotten all of my stuff uploaded because I don't do that many applications. You know, most of my folks have been with me 3 and 4 years, and it's like, you know, I keep thinking, okay, I'm going to get that all uploaded in Inago. And then of course I have an empty unit and I go, oh, okay, I'm going to do an open house this weekend, rent it, you know, on do it on Saturday, rent it on Sunday, and let them move in on Monday. And the next thing you know, I go, well, I'll upload my app next time. So I need to just get that on the list. So anyway, but I do have my application process electronically in my website, and I've had that there for years. And so I do get a lot of folks. As a matter of fact, when I put it on Marketplace, I oftentimes will get 10 or 20 applications through Marketplace of folks that haven't even come to the open house yet. They just want to make sure that they get their application in line, you know, and then they tell me, but we're coming Saturday, but we want to go ahead and send you our application. So it gets counted as, you know, whatever number that is that they're coming in. So I get it.
And then also on ours, we self-manage most of our properties, and we do everything you do. And we go first application, you know, first qualified applicant. But the most recent property that we bought, we're going to try out a property manager for, and they actually have a grid with weighted
criteria
for their applicants. That's right.
Okay. So
that way, you know, depending on what it is, whether it's the amount of money you make or the criminal charges you have in the past and how far back they go, they weight those things. And that is a way they do, obviously do it for every applicant, but because they consistently do it, that is a defendable way for them to pick the most qualified applicant rather than the first qualified applicant.
And so far in Ohio, you can do it either way as long as you do it the same
right
to everyone that's applying.
Right. I just wanted to throw that out there because I know most of us do that are in your group do first qualified applicant, but there is a way if you want to set up your processes to do it the other way.
And since it's a management company, they do a lot more applications and they have, you know, more infrastructure built around this process. So yeah, as the, you talk about how often you do it, and you know, we're discussing our process that we used well over a year ago because we haven't had to since. So it's of minimal value to try to make this any more complicated. But for the management company who does a lot of it, then of course, you know.
And if we reached the point where we had that volume and we were reviewing a ton of applicants every single month, then our systems would change as well. We would get more efficient in those systems. Elise said that she's starting to move away from a true open house. She's having more people show up if she tries to schedule 2 to 4 folks at a time to tour the house in 15-minute blocks. And again, I prefer to do the open only because I've had such great success with the open house. I suppose, and again, I don't know what the market is right now. I haven't had an open or available unit for a while. So I'm not sure what the market is, but the last one I had over 100 people that, you know, wanted the unit. And so it was like, oh, I didn't want to stretch that out for 3 or 4 weeks showing that unit over and over and over again. And so I was able to zero in and make an offer. And of course, my first person I offered it to took it, and, you know, and it was off the market that fast. But I suppose if you wanted to do it, this would probably be my second choice, would be to show it to more than one couple or more than one person at a time in 15-minute blocks. But again, I would try to keep it all the same weekend so I didn't spread it out. She said her first 2 open houses, 1 person each. Oh, and they stole her candle. just the wax part, they left the glass. That's odd.
It was a nice candle.
Wow.
Smelled
yeah.
good.
Wow. Yeah. Go back to the dollar store. That's funny. That's funny that they stole her candle. So a little side note on that, with folks that steal things, which I don't run into often, but of course, you know, that always happens from, oh, it was a Bath and Body. Oh, that's why. But I have a gal that I had beauty salons for years, for those that know me, for 25 years, I had five salons. And the one, I had a gal who was an owner, and she said when she owned her salon, she had these little votives in the bathroom of her salon. And she said every week, and she did the ladies that would come in every week and get their hair done. I'll call them the little older ladies. And every week they get their hair set. Anyway, she had the mayor's wife and the fire police chief's wife. The mayor's wife and the police chief's wife would come in kind of back to back from each other. And she said, and every week when they would leave, her votives would be missing in the bathroom. And this went on for so long. And she was thinking, it's a votive. I mean, she probably got hers from the dollar store. She's like, really? You can't like swing by the dollar store and pick up some votives? You have to steal mine out of my bathroom of the salon? So she decided this was her plan. So as these two ladies came in to get their hair done, she whispered to both of them. She said, someone's taken my votives. And today I'm going to find out who. And then when the second lady came in, she said, someone's taken my votives, and today I'm going to find out who. She said they never disappeared after that. Now, she never figured out which one it was, because it was the only two people she told that to was the two people that she suspected. So she never did figure out which one of the two, but it did stop when she said that. And she didn't accuse them. She just said that somebody's been taking them and she was going to find out. So I just thought that was a cute story, because obviously neither one of those ladies needed to steal votives. So what makes somebody steal something like that? I have no idea. I have no clue. So sorry about that.
Taking a bathroom votive, I guess.
Yes. So again, it's like taking a candle from an open house. I have no idea, you know, why that even enters somebody's mind. But anyway. So any other questions or comments? Elise, thanks for all your comments.
I really like the idea of having the keyless entry. That's pretty brilliant.
It does work for me. And more than one time, it has saved the day, because again, my biggest why in having buy and hold properties is that Mark and I, we want to retire. We want it to be passive income. We want to travel more. And it's always when we get on the plane and we fly out of state, about the time we're landing in Florida is when I get an Inago request that says, my furnace isn't working. And then I'm like, oh, we're all the way in Florida. We just got here. And so I just know that I've got that keyless entry on the house and I can call my HVAC guy. And then of course I let my tenant know who's coming and then he can get in even if they're at work. But I oftentimes, especially with Inago doing my maintenance, is in the Inago request, there's a way that they can give us permission to enter right in the request. And so that way, when I forward it on to my maintenance person already has the permission to enter the unit, even if the tenant isn't home. And then they've got the maintenance code, and so they can take care of it. So it works really well.
So I saw Tom C. had an interesting question, and we actually have a little story that goes along with him. He's asking, because he's working on a multifamily unit, asking about showing the one that's done while still working on the other. And we were in exactly that same situation 18 or so months ago now. It was an up-down duplex, and the upstairs was all done, and we were still putting the finishing touches. So I don't know if, you know, his other unit is still down to the studs or something, like, you know, where he is on that rehab. But yeah, the downstairs unit was still a couple weeks away. But Tammy did the showing, so I'll give her full credit here. She ended up renting out both units, just showing the upstairs, because everybody, you know, started asking, you know, what's downstairs as well. And we're like, well, it's not ready, but we'll let you poke your head in. Ended up with, you know, renting them both out before the downstairs was done.
Yes. Yes. So Tom asked, and it's not everybody can see it, so I'll read it. He says, I'm fixing and cleaning multifamily units for rent. Would it be bad to show units that are ready to rent when I'm working on the other units? Not bad at all. So I agree with David and Tammy. Yeah, go ahead and show the ones that are done and let them know that you've got more coming because you can get them on the list. Elise says, quick question, how do I ask my tenants if they're renewing and how do I ask them to sign a new lease? Well, number one, my lease says after the first year, it just goes on a month to month. And so as long as they don't give me a notice that they're leaving, my assumption is that they're staying and they're just continuing on a month to month. But if you want them to sign a new lease and you want to know if they're renewing, you can just call them up and ask them, send them a note, send them an email, however you normally communicate with them. And what you might do if you want them to stay and they've been, you know, great tenants, give them a little incentive. You know, maybe give them not necessarily a discount on the rent, but maybe, you know, they get a gift card for renewing, you know, to a restaurant or, you know, give them a little incentive if you want them to stay. And then she says, same here, side by side duplex, and people will see the one side and want the other. They figure they see the kind of work that you're doing. So they just assume that the other units are going to be as nice. Tom says he's going to be in his work clothes. He says not open house clothes. I'm not sure that your tenants care about that. If somebody comes by and wants to see it, I'd go ahead and show it to them and just tell them that. Just say, hey, I'm working today, so excuse my appearance, but yeah, if you want to take a look. I've been there, you know. People that are needing to move for whatever reason, you know, it's one of those things where people will go for certainty over uncertainty. And one of the things that they want to nail down is, where am I going to live? And so people do get a little, I'll call it pushy, but they want to get that solved in their life. They want to know where they're going to live so that that's off their list. So I would show it.
Yeah, I've actually had to show houses in gym clothes and pajamas before. You know, with the market moving as fast as it is, I'm like, well, I'm not dressed appropriately, but yeah, I can be there in 20 minutes. Sure.
I love it. I love it. Elise says, was four tenants, now just two. My assumption is this is the one, if she wants to know if they're staying. There were four people living in the unit. Now there's just two living in the unit. And she said, great answers. Incentive could work as well. But she definitely needs to get a new lease signed at the minimum because her number of tenants over there has changed. So yeah, I would just notify them and ask them, you know, just remind them that their renewal is coming up and ask them, you know, maybe just a little checklist like A, I am renewing, or B, we are moving on, you know, and let them respond. Because my guess is they already have it in their heads what they're going to be doing. They just haven't told you yet, if that's helpful. Yeah. So just ask. Okay. Now, before we go, I'm going to share my screen one more time. So if those of you that can see it, keep an eye on the chat. But this is my website, thekathybenner.com. You can see here on the URL. And for those of you that are on the call, you can just scroll down my website and you see here, the second line down is everything for the Happy House Hunters. We have a section for our free meetup, which is what we're doing tonight. You can click through there and you can see all of our replays. We do have a course, it's $197. And then we do have a mastermind that's $25 a month, but it includes the course. So this is what it looks like. When you click, you'll come over to the Kathy Benner International Academy. And this is the free meetup, and just click through there. And you'll see as you scroll down, it'll have all of the dates and everything that we've talked about. The second one is the course, and there's where you can click through to buy the course. But if you scroll down, you can see everyone that's included or everything that's included. There's the whole section on finding, and there's all kinds of topics. Then we've got the funding. These are the six F's of real estate. Then it moves on to the fixing, and then into the flipping, and finally into the filling, which is what we're talking about tonight. And then what is your freedom number? And then of course, a wrap up there. And then of course, with the mastermind, if you enroll in the mastermind, you get the course included. It's automatically included. And when you scroll down, there is myself and Kyle in the mastermind, and it goes through the mastermind. It tells you all of our replays. We do boots on the ground where we look at actual properties. They're all listed here, the ones that we've done in this year, 2022. We do a mastermind where we just answer questions once a month. We have, here is last year's boots on the ground and the mastermind. And so as you scroll down past all of that, there has been a couple of boot camps, and here's where we did start to finish on McAllister Avenue, and you can see this whole rehab take place. And then we did a landlord boot camp, and you can go through that boot camp if you want. But then we have all the forms that you might need. We have everything from checklists to public records to sample lease agreements. All of that is in the mastermind. And then we have independent contractor resources. If you need carpet cleaning or a basement repair or a concrete contractor or, you know, drain clogs or a general contractor. So there's all kinds, and we're adding to this every month. So feel free to join through if you're interested in that. And here is the course, which is the exact course that you can purchase on its own, but it comes with the actual mastermind. And then, of course, this was my checklist, and I will put a copy of that in with this replay as well. So just wanted to let everybody know where to find information if you were interested in additional information. Any other comments or questions? David, did you have something you wanted to say?
No, I was...
Oh, just listening. Okay. Good. All right. Well, we are coming up on the hour. So I just want to say thank you, everyone, for tapping in this evening. And again, just go to kathybinner.com if you're interested in any of the replays. This will be uploaded, if not tonight, in the morning, sometime later tonight or in the morning. I'll get it uploaded into the free section if anyone is interested, or if you want a copy of the checklist, I'll put all of that in that same area where the free recording is for this replay. Kyle, tell the group a little bit about you and how folks can connect with you before we go.
Yeah, Kyle Brandon, real estate agent here for 10 years, been working with Kathy and the Happy House Hunters for about 5 or 6. You can reach me at kyle.brandon@exprealty.net. Also, you can just Facebook stalk me, Kyle Brandon Realtor on Facebook. And my phone number I will put into the chat for everyone to have as well.
Perfect. Very good.
I think I've got a bio page on kathybinner.com somewhere too.
Yes, you do. When you click through on the mastermind, your bio and connect information is there as well. And it's on the front sales page. You don't have to join to get to it. You can see it by just clicking on the mastermind icon. You can see all of that information. It's right up front. All right. Well, thank you everyone for being on tonight. This has been a lot of fun. And I have to stay on top of my game with you guys. This is the shakers and movers in this group. So I got to stay on top of my game. You guys are out there making it happen.
Trying. Thank you, yes. Kathy.
Yes. So anyhow, we are off. Mark and I are leaving tomorrow. I think David and Tammy might be on their way Thursday, but we are headed to Cincinnati for the big conference. And so if you don't know anything about it, it's the OREIA. I have to get that in the correct order. The Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. And their conference is in Cincinnati. But if you just look under OREIA convention.com.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you just Google that, you'll find all the information about it. And as soon as this one is over, which should come to a close on Sunday, then they rather quickly put the next year's information out there. So you can find it. And the sooner you get tickets, the cheaper the tickets are. The closer you get to the event, the more the tickets go up. So if anyone is interested in attending that, you know, jump on and get the details. And if you decide, well, it's too late this year, but I am interested next year, then put it on your calendar for Monday to Google that and look it up, because I don't know if it'll be quite up on Monday, but shortly after that, the information will be up for next year. So yes, Elise said, see you there. She's going to be there. And Elise, I need to let you know, mark Friday night on your calendar. We're all going to have dinner together. So mark your calendar for Friday night, and but we'll see you there. We'll tell you all about it, but mark your calendar. All right. Okay, guys, we'll see everybody later. And for some of you, I will see you in Cincinnati.
See you there.
Bye. All right.
Bye.